And time for another Tom and Shane video. It's Thursday. It's March 12th already. Almost middle, not March 12th, March 22nd. I can't read, Shane.
Yeah, second day of spring.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget, if you're just joining us, don't forget to subscribe. Ring that notification bell. You'll always be notified of another podcast that we have. Like us, leave a comment, because YouTube loves that stuff, and they move us up in the search a little better if you do that. And also, if you'd like to make videos like this, we use StreamYard. There's a free version, a free link in the description below on YouTube. Get over there and check it out. You too can be a TV and YouTube star. And if you'd like to support the show monetarily, Patreon is the way to do it. There is a link in the description below for that as well. And today we're going to talk about China, 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 everything you wanted to know about China, Shane. So take it away. What's going on with China?
Well, I just think it's sort of an interesting thing to talk to and talk about. And the reason is because, you know, this whole thing that we're watching in Ukraine has led everyone to draw conclusions about what she's going to do in China, wanting Taiwan back. But I just want to take 1 minute to cover the historical reference of success with regards to war for China. Not very good. In 1,000 years, they've not done well. They lost to the Mongols. They tried to invade Japan twice. And we'll talk about that in a minute, because you're going to get a giggle out of what I discovered, because I did. They didn't do well in Korea. Certainly didn't do well in their incursion into Vietnam. So they have a very poor history. I think the most important thing, go ahead.
We just lost our internet there for a moment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Back?
Yeah, it's back.
Oh, okay. Because I'm looking at my box here.
Yeah, so, they're still giving me a lousy signal, but I don't know. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to mention that in 1274, folks, so that's like 800 years ago, the Yang dynasty decided to invade Japan with a Mongol fleet. And it was not a very successful one. The first one was in 1274, a fleet of 800 ships carrying 40,000 men, and over 20,000 drowned, and most of the fleet was destroyed by a tsunami and a typhoon. And the second was even larger. It was in 1784, and they sent 4,400 ships, 140,000 men. They outnumbered the samurai in Japan by about 400. But another typhoon showed up, and over 100,000, almost 120,000 men were lost, and they only returned with less than 400 ships. Now, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because the people of Japan made, you know, blessings to the gods for what they call divine wind. Well, the Japanese word for divine wind is kamikaze. So that was probably one of the most fascinating things I learned about this. That and the fact, of course, that the Chinese haven't done well. Now let's just cover the Sino-Vietnamese War real quick, because it was fast and dirty. 1979, February 17th to March 16th, 79, China decided to invade Vietnam over border disputes, and we're talking 1 month, but it was disastrous. The strength that the Chinese went in with was 200,000 soldiers, 500 tanks. The Vietnamese claimed that, you know, they had only around 70,000 to 100,000 soldiers to fight, including 150,000 in pajamas, as we know. 7,000 Chinese were killed, and 57,000 Chinese were killed, and the Vietnamese lost about 7,000. So the reason I'm bringing this up, that the 62,000 casualties in Vietnam were people. So you look at this history, and the size of the People's Liberation Army being what it is, and we know it's not that grand. They have, in the Air Force, they have 400,000 people, 3,300 aircraft, and the Republic of Taiwan, it's done quite well. I mean, it's not as large, but it's still a pretty reasonable force. So when you're defending an island, it's much, much easier. Taiwan is a very rocky island, so it's not easy for the Chinese to land on it. And everyone in the country of Taiwan is pretty well, armed. So, I mean, it's one of these things that you look at it, you go, wow, that's it's sort of like Switzerland, right? So we'll see how it goes, but it'll be interesting to see what any kind of an outcome would be, because, 35,000 people in the Taiwanese Air Force, and they have 600 aircraft, but I think it'll all bend on, how, not just Putin may or may not end up, but also, what ends up being the help that he gets.
Yeah. Well, China is definitely a number two power in the world behind us. They got a pretty good standing army. They got a lot of folks that they can send, certainly. But I don't think we're going to have that kind of a war, Shane. The China, Russia, U.S. military. Russia's finding out, I think, right now, you can't fight a World War II war with a country anymore.
No, that's right. And I heard a senator, this week, over the weekend, commenting about NATO and, this whole thing about NATO and everything. And the planes. It's like that guy on Fantasy Island. The plane.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. He said we should have an organization similar to NATO in Southeast Asia. Well, I mean, he's a U.S. senator and he's never heard of CETO, Treaty Organization. There already is a similar.
Yeah, there's.
When you're listening to these dough heads on TV, as I say, it's very harsh.
Because
clearly they don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is. Well, if China was going to take Taiwan, they would just bomb it out of existence and probably never even make shore.
Well, you risk so much with that, right? I mean, seriously, you do. I mean, at the end of the day, you end up looking like Russia. And I mean, right now,
that's what G's looking at right now.
Right.
He's looking at how's the world going to take this invasion that Putin's doing? And they're looking at that and saying, well, gee, boy, I don't really give a rat's ass if the world likes me or not. I don't think G cares if he's popular.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other things involved here. 70% of the Russian banks are now gone from the SWIFT transfer.
Mm-hmm.
I heard another senator this weekend suggest that, the Americans should give Russian people, some type of not a credit card, but a cash card, so they could still buy. Well, China's already done that. They announced that last week as part of their financial package to Russia. They literally have printed and sent to the Russian people, debit cards so that they can make purchases. So again, you look at this and the reference to it is crazy. The other thing that's important, for some mysterious reason, Russia skipped its, debt payments, but apparently the $160 million was paid. No one's apparently going to tell how it happened or why, when they supposedly have all these bank restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
But China's different. China's, they've got $1 trillion of your debt. So they have to look at this, from an economic point of view, not just, do they need an island? That you got to look at it that way.
Yeah, well, that's certainly true. But as I started to say, I don't think public opinion is going to sway Xi one way or the other. It's what's going to happen to you monetarily. How bad is Russia hurt? And how bad can Japan be hurt if they were to go into Taiwan, much like Putin went into Ukraine?
Well, this becomes a huge issue again, you know, with the your government policy and what Biden's prepared to do. You know, does he put an aircraft carrier fleet, which you have 11 of? I mean, the Chinese have one aircraft carrier. You have 11 and three more being built. I mean, you know, of the Ford class. So you know, these are massive platforms, you know, to be anywhere on the ocean. But I mean, if Biden, I don't see him allowing the Department of Defense or ordering them to put a fleet in the Taiwan Straits. I mean, that's what Trump would do. You know, he'd send three, you know, north, south, and right in the middle. Okay, let's play this game. Come on.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're looking at, I guess. So, well, as we look at Taiwan's future, Taiwan pretty successful, not quite Shanghai, but pretty damn good. They've got a great economy and a flourishing island, as you point out. So,
incredible. I mean, for a small population, I mean, it makes you appreciate what free capital and freedom does. I mean, in the context of China, and even compared to our country, you know, they have an over a trillion-dollar economy, and you know, it's not a heavily populated island, because you know it's an island, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, there's about 25 million people, and the 1.4 trillion, and so 12th largest trader with the United States. One of the biggest is technology, and particularly chips. You know, they're a big provider of chips.
I was going to say, that's where a lot of the chips come from.
That's right. Taiwan. Yeah, not people say it's China, but it's
it isn't. Yeah, it's Taiwan. Yeah. So,
so once again, car, buddy.
Yeah. So if your car stalled because your chip went out, contact my friend in Taiwan.
Well, and, you know, you can't believe the numbers, of course, that were released a week ago by the Communist Party in China. You know, that, you know, 5% growth and 6% GDP and, you know, no inflation. You know, but, you know, 5,000 cases of COVID, and they shut 31 million down into a city that is a major manufacturer of car parts and chips as well. And, you know, and then on top of that, they went about this with the idea of creating a middle class, which is now 400 million. We talked about this. And to create, you know, a middle class that would be consumers. They did, but they're not consuming Chinese stuff. So their economy is not doing well. Their demographics, we've talked about time and time again, are falling off the wall. You know, 50% of the people in China are over 60. You know, you're looking at a population of 400 million by the end of the century. So their effort to grow is to get ahead of that, knowing, you know, their numbers up. They are not going to become the world dominant, and they're not going to become the super military. You know, they've expanded their economy. They're over 87 million condos they've built that are in apartments that are sitting empty. You know, they built 10 cities in the country in the last 40 years to house 20 million people. They're empty.
They got ghost cities sitting around all over China.
They've made some big choices and bad decisions.
Well, the other thing too, they're the one of the primary reasons, along with India and a couple other places, for the Green New Deal wants to calm them down. So they're building coal-fired power plants. I think they got over 1,100 of them in my research, anyway. That they're going
and 11, building one a week.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, for a while they were building one a week.
And the problem that they have right now, too. I just want to get this in. One of the reasons their economy is collapsing and will continue is a lot of the plants in their country are 30 years old or more. So if a major producer, whether it's U.S. or European, has to, you know, looking at replacing, they're better to go to India, far more educated people, the largest democracy in the world, and Vietnam. I mean, Vietnam has got a great infrastructure now. And in both countries, both India and Vietnam, it's the workforce is educated, and the cost of labor is cheaper now. I mean, it's, you know, people are having to pay for labor in China, and plus, you know, they've got this demographic problem with people, and you don't enslave people to try to make it up, but they think with the Uyghurs that they can do that. So it's a sad situation. Yeah.
Well, they don't have a problem with the workforce, that's for sure. You know, they got plenty of people. So. How feeble they are, as you point out, half of them are over 60. So they're not going to do a lot of heavy lifting probably. But, I don't know. This I think everything hinges on this thing with Taiwan or with Ukraine, Shane. I think that's either going to go down in flames for Putin, and that may be the end of him and Russia, or, you know, or people are going to understand that Russia doesn't have the power they did, although they've still control European oil and gas. So that's a pretty heavy hand.
Well, there seems to be some rumbling amongst the oligarchs, which we called, you know, people again on TV are talking about the Politburo. There's no Politburo. I mean, it's the other 121 billionaires that are looking at him going, what are you doing to me? I mean,
Well, I think they're more under Putin's control than they're controlling him. That's pretty obvious, I think, up to this point. They're losing all their stuff. But I think he has the goods on them rather than them having the goods on him.
Well, Italy announced this weekend, you know, that they seized the largest private yacht in the world. $250 million yacht. Guess who owns it? Putin.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, what's it doing in Italy?
Well, you know, he has to have a back door too. Everyone wants one.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I see everybody is bitching about Russian oil, but nobody seems to be bitching about Chinese goods in Walmart. So
they're not yet, or the dollar store. Yeah. You know, and amazingly enough, you know, dollar store stocks are the one group that's held up. We'll talk about things about the market on Thursday. We want to give everybody a little outreach. So tell your friends if you want to learn about shorting.
Yeah,
you know, and have a cash account, margin account, or a short account. Be here Thursday to learn what a short account is and why.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that coming up. So, all right. Any final thoughts here before we wrap this up and go about our day, so to speak?
I don't see China making any move against Taiwan in the near future. No. It would be literally fatal for them economic and militarily. And with their record of lack of success, I just, you know.
Yeah, I think that'd be the issue. Well, hey, don't forget, we're on radio every Saturday, like it or not, 8 to 11 a.m. Mountain Time. You can listen to us anywhere in the world. Go to KMMSAM.com and click Listen Now. No sign-up needed, no email, no nothing to join, no club, no organization, no nothing. You just go over there and click Listen. It's sort of like you're doing right now, in fact. You click Listen here, and that's what you get. So, we appreciate that very much. Our live programs are also there as well. Our past programs, I should say. Listen to the past radio shows that we've done and these podcasts at KMMS, KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast there, and it'll take you over to that link. So, it's pretty cool. You can get us anytime, anywhere. How about that, Shane? That's pretty...
Anytime, anywhere, baby.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for watching. Don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. Like us. Leave a comment down below. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you'd like to see or hear or view or whatever. And we will see everybody on Thursday. So have a great week. We'll see you then.